Gracious God, on this Easter Sunday, we pray that you would speak to us and that we might encounter you. Lord, as we walk along the road with you, we pray that we would find you. Or much more importantly, that you would find us, that you would stir something up in us, and that you would change us. Even now, Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear your words, minds that can understand them, and hearts and lives that can still be changed. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. The story goes that one day, a spaceship landed in the middle of a huge field just outside of a small rural community. The aliens looked friendly enough, so some of the farmers cautiously approached them, hoping to establish a good relationship. The aliens greeted the Earthlings warmly and said, "We are on a mission from the planet Zuron in the galaxy of Andromeda. We have been assigned to explore your planet and to discover what you have learned. We are here to learn as much as we can about planet Earth. So tell us, has anything significant happened? Have you learned or discovered anything of note here on Earth that you can tell us about?" Farmers thought for a few moments, and then one of them spoke up. "We have radio and television and the internet. We can send signals all over the planet using satellites." The aliens replied, "Oh, great. We've had that for a couple thousand years, and it's actually kind of obsolete now for us, but has anything else happened of note?" Again, the farmers kind of scratched their heads for a while. "Well, we've developed computers that can process huge amounts of information in seconds, and you can fit it right in your pocket." "Well, that's old news too," said the aliens. "Hasn't anything extraordinary happened here?" The farmers were still thinking when one of the aliens timidly asked, we heard a rumor that God visited your planet many, many years ago. Is that rumor true?" Well, there was a man named Jesus Christ. He claimed, yes! That's it! Jesus, did he really come?" the aliens asked excitedly. "Yes," said the farmers, "but what an extraordinary thing, what a wonderful thing," explained the alien. "Tell us, what did you do when God visited your planet? Did you bring him gifts? Did you throw them at his feet? Did you run through the streets celebrating and singing? Did all of the world finally realize just how much God loves them? Tell us, what did you do?" Farmers pondered that for a moment and then sheepishly said, We killed him. We killed him. Lucky for us, and it's why we're here today, that's not the end of the story. But I think their point is a fair one, because of course, sometimes it's easy for us to miss Jesus even in our midst. Sometimes it's easy to get so caught up in our own concerns that we don't even recognize Jesus when he's with us. Sometimes it's easy for us to go through the motions and yet also keep ourselves just distant enough so that we're not changed. And yet Jesus is coming, Jesus' presence, Jesus' resurrection should have an effect. We should be different because of Jesus. As we are encountered by Jesus and as we worship him, as we learn to trust him more, we become transformed. But let me back up. Because today we come to the end of our sermon series, Traversing the Mountains of Lent. We've been traveling the road of repentance and recommitment as we've been looking toward the cross and ultimately to today, to the resurrection. And while we've been on that road, we've been learning about worship. Remember, we started the year talking about being blessed by God. And then in Lent, we've been turning that around and talking about how then might we bless God. And the answer's been worship. Last Sunday, we walked with Jesus along the road as he entered into Jerusalem. Hosanna in the highest. On Friday, we walked with Jesus on the road toward the cross. Crucify him. And today, we join him on still another road. And so if you would, I would invite you and encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 24, verse 13. Luke 24:13 as we continue to talk about worship on this Easter Sunday. Let's pick up our story. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the things that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Amen. That's some good news, and we're going to get there in just a moment. But first, I want us to remember that what we're actually talking about, kind of the bigger story we're talking about today, is worship. And we can see that all throughout our passage, though not always in ways that we would at first expect. More than that, we can see people being changed throughout this story by worship, by the word, which is also our hope as well as we gather together even today. In fact, it's worth noting, because it's in our bulletins each and every week, that there's a familiar framework in our passage that happens a couple of times. Jesus gathers the disciples around the word, they hear the word, and then they respond to the word. Jesus meets them on the road, they hear the word, they worship, they're blessed, and then they are changed. And so I want us to look back at our passage, as we also have gathered, and as we also are listening for the word, as we also prepare ourselves to be changed. More to the point, let's walk with these disciples as they are changed by worship. And maybe we can see this best as kind of a before, during, and after, as we walk along with them and encounter Jesus, really, on the road. So to that end, let's see where they're starting on the road as they're walking away. Then let's see what happens on the road as they encounter Jesus in worship. And then let's follow them as they return back along the road, responding because they've been changed. And in all of this, maybe we can also find some good news. But we start by simply joining these first disciples as they walk along the road. And as we do, we have to ask the obvious question, why are these two guys leaving Jerusalem? It sort of doesn't make sense when you think about it. I mean, obviously, this is 3 days after Jesus was killed, so understandably, they are feeling downcast, dejected, depressed. And yet, earlier that very morning, some of their friends had gone to the tomb and found it empty. And not just empty, there were angels who said that Jesus is alive. At that point, the rest of the disciples go to the tomb only to confirm what the women had already reported. Which brings us right back to our question. Well, then where are you guys going? Why would you leave? Don't you want to wait around and see what's happening? I mean, that's the obvious question, right? Because if something unexpected and possibly unearthly is happening, shouldn't we stay around to see what it is? Just in case there's something to witness here. But of course, that is the problem. They're leaving because they're having trouble seeing much of anything right now. Truth be told, we can only imagine that they are so disheartened that they probably wouldn't even recognize Jesus if he was walking along with them. Or maybe it's something different. Maybe there's something different that's keeping them from seeing. Maybe it's just the distractions from life and its pressures. Maybe those pressures from life, those things to do, just start to come into their life again. The Monday morning to-do list just enters back in. Because let's face it, there's always more work that needs to be done. And the kids do need to be driven to soccer and dance and baseball and music lessons. And those projects back at home aren't simply going to fix themselves. At some point, you can't just stay in Jerusalem indefinitely. Nor would you want to if you're unable to see. Which is also why we can't be too hard on these guys, can we? Because it's a little too familiar, a little too easy for us to find ourselves in them. Sure, maybe something is happening, but sometimes we have trouble seeing it as well. The demands of life obscure everything else. Sometimes we're a little too focused on where we are on the road. And if we're being honest with ourselves, sometimes we aren't even looking for Jesus in the first place. And so we leave when we should stay. You see, maybe it's just a sight problem. Maybe we have trouble seeing Jesus sometimes, even when he's right there in our midst, walking alongside us. Maybe sometimes our eyes have become darkened and closed and blind. And so sometimes we find ourselves also walking away because we've lost sight of the one who can help us see. Which is then the point that Jesus enters back into the story. Because as we all walk along, even as we don't recognize him, Jesus shows up among us and begins to open up our eyes through worship. as these disciples walk with Jesus, he opens up the scriptures to them, explaining how the whole story has been pointing toward and talking about him all along, even though they couldn't see it before. Later, when they reflect on this conversation, they finally have the words to describe the burning in their hearts as he talked. Something real, something true, something powerful was being kindled as he spoke. Something in them was changing, even though they didn't quite recognize it yet. Because, of course, Jesus wasn't done. Because then he joins them at the table, breaking bread, sharing in worship and communion with them, and he further opens their eyes, and they recognize him, and they're changed. At which point, ironically, he then disappears. And as if this revelation wasn't clear enough, the whole part of this repeats itself later in our story as Jesus again joins them and the rest of the disciples. This time they're all gathered together. They're unsure, insecure, afraid. And then Jesus just shows up among them. And while initially they have trouble seeing, while initially they have trouble believing, while initially they have trouble trusting, Jesus again turns them toward the scriptures, illuminates himself and the truth, and opens up their eyes so that they can see. And then after some final instructions, he again disappears and is taken back into heaven. But notice the pattern all throughout this passage. We see the people having trouble recognizing, having trouble hoping, having trouble believing in Jesus. And then Jesus shows up, opens the scriptures to them, worships with them, and they are changed. Because now they can see. Now they understand. And now everything is made new. But we're not finished walking with Jesus and these disciples, because these stories don't end with only eyes opened. These stories begin when these disciples have their eyes opened. Because all of these disciples then respond, and more to the point, they respond in some similar ways. They gather together, they worship together, they follow again. It's as if their first instinct upon having their eyes opened is then to find others who have experienced similar things, or at least to share with others what they have now seen. We see this in the first two disciples. They hurry right back along the road that they just finished coming down so that they can find the rest of the disciples and tell them what they now see. And when they arrive, they're told that Jesus has appeared to Simon, and therefore we're not surprised that they have already gathered together to tell each other about what they have just seen. But their response isn't only toward community and fellowship, because then they also respond in worship. They are in awe, they praise, they worship God. Because something this good, this life-changing, this unbelievable points all of us back toward the goodness and power of God. They bless God just as they've been blessed by God. At which point we see these disciples now finally getting back on track, following Jesus again. Because, of course, it's not just that they have had an encounter with Jesus in worship. It's that they've been changed by Jesus through worship. And then they respond by following more faithfully. Because, of course, all of this will have a profound effect on how they live the rest of their whole lives. Encountering Jesus doesn't just change how we worship in here, but how we worship in here then changes how we live out there. We walk differently because we've been encountered by Jesus. We walk differently because we have worshiped. We walk differently because we've been changed. But before we're done, I want us to see one more thing to try and tie everything back together again. So I want to picture the road. I want us to zoom out a little bit because I need us to see the whole road, because there's one other aspect of the disciples' worship transformation. Because it's important that we recognize how Jesus helps them in small to experience the resurrection life that Jesus just experienced in full. And in this, we may see more clearly the good news which is sometimes so easy for us to miss. At the beginning, these two disciples are depressed and they're walking away, as we talked about. They're helpless, they're hopeless, they're leaving, they're hurting, and they're about to miss everything. Their eyes are closed, their hearts have gone dark. But then watch what happens because Jesus shows up. And this is very, very Jesus here. He walks with them, he teaches them, he breaks bread with them, and he opens up their eyes and changes their hearts. But remember, Jesus has just been resurrected from the dead. Surely he has better things to do, more places to go, other people to see on this resurrection day. And yet he takes several hours out of his busy first resurrection day to simply be with these two disciples, to walk with them and talk with them and worship with them. He takes the time to turn them back around. See how crazy that is. There was a guy one time, he had he told a story about 100, once there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of the sheep walked away. And he left the 99 to go after the one. Jesus comes back, he just got back. And the first thing he does is walk on a 6-mile road with these two disciples that can't even see him, explaining, talking, working with them, worshiping with them, changing them, and opening up their eyes. If Jesus would do this for them, how much more for us? Notice the good news here, because it's easy to miss it. They don't come to Jesus. If anything, they're the ones walking away from Jesus, but Jesus goes to them. Notice, they can't see Jesus. They can't find Jesus. They can't recognize Jesus. If anything, they're unable to. But he reveals himself to them. Notice, they don't accept Jesus. They're unable to trust Jesus. They're unable to believe in Jesus, but he believes in them. And that changes everything. That's the good news. The good news is that he brings us back. He opens our eyes. He rescues us and redeems us and even resurrects us. That's the good news. Because, of course, he is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord God, on this Easter Sunday, we recognize all of the ways that you are risen anew, even in our lives. And Lord God, we also recognize ourselves on that road. Because too often we are those two disciples who are walking away from the action, walking away from Jerusalem, walking away from Jesus. Except you show up. Except you walk on that road with us. Because you are patient. And because you love us. And you slowly turn us around. You slowly change us. And so we pray that you would do that even now. That you would help us to find you, that you would open up our eyes in worship, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would mold us even more into your church, your body. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your power. And we pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus, the risen Lord. Amen.